Shalom, and welcome to Kol Dorot On Your Way, a project of Kol Dorot, a Reform Jewish community in Bergen County, New Jersey. I'm Rabbi Noah Fabrikant. It's Tuesday evening. The sun has set on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. It's been a truly awe-inspiring few days, a wonderful start to our first year as Kol Dorot. I'm going to have much more to say about Rosh Hashanah, but for now, I wanted to be sure to share the sermons for those of you who didn't get a chance to hear them, or for anyone who might want to hear one again. We're going to start by hearing the sermon from my colleague and friend, Rabbi David Widzer from Erev Rosh Hashanah, and then the next podcast episode will have my sermon from Rosh Hashanah morning. So now, from Sunday, September 29th, Erev Rosh Hashanah at Kol Dorot, here is Rabbi David Widzer.
Shana Tova, everyone. Some of you I know, some of you I've met, some of you I haven't yet met, but as we gather here on this first night of the new year, this first night of Rosh Hashanah as Kol Dorot, I have a confession to make, something to share out loud with all of you. Some of you may already know this, but I am a fan of the Cleveland Browns. And not just a Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham Sports Illustrated cover this year kind of fan. I've been a fan since I was 8 years old. Now, I'm not much of an athlete, personally speaking. Maybe I've played in a pickup football game twice. But they are my hometown team, and their history has been part of my life since I was a little kid. Now, among the many, many challenges of being a Browns fan, well, actually of being a Cleveland sports fan in general, is the long string of moments of disappointment. Occasionally, though, there are also moments of hope and of meaning, and one such moment I want to share with you tonight, it came in August 1999. Now, 4 years before that, the Browns owner, Art Modell, had abandoned Cleveland by moving the team to Baltimore. But the city's elected officials and a grassroots movement of the hometown team of the fans had overwhelmed the NFL with our desire and deep dedication to football, and there was a fascinating deal that had been struck. Modell was allowed to move the team, its players, and all of its equipment to Maryland to create the Baltimore Ravens, who, I might add, the Browns defeated earlier today. But Modell was forced to leave behind, in the city of Cleveland, the colors, the history, and the very name of the Cleveland Browns. Now, after 3 seasons without professional football, the city was granted an expansion team. And so on August 9th, 1999, the first night of the NFL's preseason games, in a locker room at the stadium of the Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio, a group of men suited up. Some of them were football veterans, some were rookies, but all of them were new members of the franchise, every one of them. As a team, they had never before won or lost a single game. They'd never set any records. They'd never produced a superstar. As a team, they were brand new. But this brand new team also had a long and rich history, 50 years worth of statistics and records and accomplishments. The players were heirs to a football legacy, but they were also a fresh start, a new beginning. The Cleveland Browns, who played that first preseason game, bore the history of the franchise, the scoring records, the famous players, even the same uniforms. But in that moment when they took the field, the team itself in that uniform was brand new, playing together for the first time once again. Now, even if you're not a Browns fan, for so many of us here tonight, this feeling of starting new, but also bearing the history of the old, might feel a bit familiar. Raise your hand, if you would, if you were once a member of Temple Beth El of Northern Valley, which celebrated 69 Rosh Hashanahs together. Put your hands down. Raise your hand if you were once a member of Temple Beth Or, which celebrated 60 High Holy Days together here. Put your hands down. Now, more importantly, raise a hand if you are part of the Kol Dorot community. That should be everybody, right? Whether you are formally a member, a visitor, or a guest, or just checking us out, you are part of this new beginning tonight. We are Kol Dorot, a Reformed Jewish community marking our very first Rosh Hashanah services together. And we are also the living legacy of our two predecessor congregations. Collectively, we represent scores of Purim plays and Hanukkah parties, mitzvah projects and rummage sales. We have raised up hundreds on hundreds of confirmation students whose pictures from both legacy congregations grace the walls of our religious school just down the hall there. Together, we have hosted hundreds of potluck dinners and board meetings, weddings and funerals. The Shema has been uttered thousands of times in our worship, and our communal life has included thousands of people over the years. And tonight, we start anew, beginning again for the first time. We are all new members of Kol Dorot. This year, we'll see our first group of consecration students, our first Sukkot harvest pie oneg, our first mitzvah mall, our first adult barn bat mitzvah class. Never before has Kol Dorot danced with Torah scrolls on Simchat Torah or joined in a congregational Seder. Never before has Kol Dorot sent festival care packages to our college students or held a meeting of our book club. The legacy of our past gives shape to our experiences, but the experiences themselves will be brand new to us and to this community and brand new to this new year. The old but new Cleveland Browns and our old but new Kol Dorot community parallel our own personal individual status on this Rosh Hashanah Eve. For in truth, each one of us finds ourselves in a similar situation. We come to this night as heirs of our personal past, inheritors of everything that we have done in the year that has ended. For better or for worse, we each bear our own personal history, the victories of the spirit and failures of will, relationships gained and opportunities squandered, of successes achieved and disappointments weathered. And at the same time, we also begin fresh, new, and eager to embrace what lies ahead, ready to realize its potential. So far, in these opening moments of this new year, I think our record is unblemished. We are old and we are new. And we have the opportunity to begin this year for the very first time once again. So what will we make of this new start? What projects will we undertake? What goals will we set? What will we build in our old new beginning? Well, on a personal level, we seek to construct lives of meaning. We want to build relationships and true connections. We want to feel like our lives make a difference. We want to feel fulfilled. We hope this year to truly become our best selves. These are, in fact, very similar goals to those that we have for our Kol Dorot community. We want our community to be founded on authentic relationships between people. We seek to make moments of meeting and connection. We want our community to be enhanced and enriched by our expression of Jewish values, by living and learning the texts of our tradition. We want Kol Dorot to add meaning to people's lives. I will say, in addition to all of these lofty ideals and important goals, there is a very practical and tangible task that we want to accomplish, and that is completing and moving into our permanent home at 660 Kinderkamak Road in Oradell. We are so fortunate to have been able to adapt this great building into our temporary hold for Kol Dorot. We've rebranded our signage. We've settled staff into new offices. We've installed this menorah on the bima. Our Ner Tamid, above our ark, now shines with the light of both legacy congregations. And many of you were here on that glorious day in June when some of our Torah scrolls set forth from Schralenberg Road and arrived here. Our clergy and our staff and our lay leadership have worked hard to make this transition a reality, paring down and cleaning out much of the building in Closter, except for the Early Learning Center, and making room here for prayer books and school supplies, as well as memories and stories. Our old new life together begins here, But we do look forward to the time, may it come speedily and soon, that we complete our new permanent home in Oradell and begin our next chapter as Col Dorote together. Now, this notion of a temporary holy place, one that we set up after moving and then take down when we move again, this should also feel familiar because it's part of our history. It dates back to the very first spiritual home of the Israelites in the Torah, the creation of our first physical edifice. They too began in one place and then moved on to their next sacred space. So we read in the book of Exodus of the building of the Mishkan, the take-apart tabernacle that the Israelites traveled with for the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. That entire ensemble could be dismantled whenever it was time to move camp and then set up once again like some giant IKEA construction project. Each time it was set up as if it was brand new once again. Now, when the tabernacle was first built, there was an 8-day dedication ceremony for it. And there's a midrash, a rabbinic story, that teaches that on each of the first 7 days of this 8-day festival, Moses would set up the tabernacle in the morning and then tear it down each night. And after 7 days of building and then destroying and building and destroying his creation, finally on the 8th day, Moses let the Mishkan stand intact. Some of our commentators understand this story in terms of practicality, that by doing this, Moses was teaching the Israelites how to erect and dismantle the tabernacle so they know how to do it when they set off on their journey. But some of our sages take a more metaphorical, even metaphysical approach that ties into our old new beginnings on this High Holy Days. They conjecture that the Mishkan is meant to be not a physical building, but a symbol of our spiritual life, our ideal self, our truest essence. The word Mishkan itself means dwelling place, and the tabernacle was designed to be the place where God might dwell among the Israelites. Couldn't we consider ourselves to have our own personal inner tabernacle, a place within us that is open to the divine, however we might define our relationship with God? We each have a spiritual center within us, something that represents our best selves. We each, in our own way, build our inner Mishkan as an image of who we truly want to be. Then, the fact that Moses rebuilds the tabernacle repeatedly means something for our spiritual lives. We work hard at being good people, at being kind friends, at doing the right thing. And then something comes along and tears that down. We make a mistake. We say the wrong thing. We lash out in anger or frustration. We hurt the people we care about. We aren't the people we tried to be. And our carefully constructed inner Mishkan comes crashing down. What we learn from Moses is that when that happens, we must work to build our inner tabernacle once again. The 20th century Hasidic leader Rabbi Shalom Noach Berezovsky teaches, whenever we fail and our spiritual world collapses, like the dismantling of the tabernacle, we must raise it up anew. We've done this before, but each time we start to build that inner Mishkan within us, we begin again for the first time. We are old, we are new, we try again. Now, my Cleveland Browns very clearly know this lesson. If you are a Browns fan, then the phrases red, right, 88, or the drive, or the fumble, each bring back difficult memories of heartbreaking losses in the playoff games of 1980, 86, and 87. In each instance, the world that seemed so ideal came crashing down, and the Browns kept starting over and over again, including overcoming the shock of the departure of the team and feeling the joy of the rebirth of the franchise. But I have to tell you, in the 20 years since they returned as the old new Browns in 1999, 30 different people have started as quarterback for the team. And they have played under 11 different head coaches. That is a lot of inner tabernacles of football hopes torn down and rebuilt. and yet they still keep trying. And we dedicated Cleveland Browns fans keep rooting for them. Each season, they and we have the opportunity to start over again. On a personal level, the chance to start anew while carrying out our legacies and our experiences with us, the bad and the good, these can create tabernacles of meaning and fulfillment. You may have heard the story of the man in 1888 who awoke one morning to find his own obituary in the newspaper. It had been printed by mistake. Now, this man happened to be the creator of dynamite and other explosives. He was a tremendously successful arms merchant, and his obituary was titled, "The Merchant of Death Has Died." Well, although the newspaper apologized for the misprint, the man was awfully shocked, it seemed, that this was how he was going to be remembered. And so he decided he wanted to start over again by creating a foundation that would celebrate human accomplishments in physics and chemistry, medicine, literature, and peace. The man was Alfred Nobel, and when he actually did die 8 years later, he left the majority of his fortune that he had gained by selling arms and inventing explosives, he left that fortune to establish the Nobel Prizes. Another example. There was once a young girl who wanted to be an Olympic ice skater. She made it to fifth place in junior pairs in the U.S. National Championships, but she was unable to advance beyond that level and left the sport. After college, she started a career writing at Vogue magazine and quickly rose to be a senior editor by age 23. But after 15 years there, she wasn't advancing any further and she left the magazine. Shortly afterwards, she got engaged and was frustrated at the lack of designer options for wedding dresses, so she crafted her own. And a year later, Vera Wang opened her own bridal shop and soon became one of the most successful designers today. There was an interview a couple years ago with her where she admitted how difficult it was to begin again as a fashion writer after her skating career and as a designer after her editing career. She said, "What I do now couldn't have happened without the first two tries. I had to constantly reinvent myself." Vera Wang, she might not describe it this way, but Vera Wang rebuilt her inner tabernacle to begin again. Now, not everyone who transforms themselves is an internationally known inventor or a global fashion icon. It's a woman named Barbara Hillary, who is 88 years old and lives in Queens. And despite a bout of breast cancer in her 20s, Barbara became a successful nurse focusing in gerontology, and she survived lung cancer at age 67 and decided to retire, turning her attention to other pursuits, including exotic travel. When she discovered that no African-American woman had yet been to the North Pole, she then transformed herself into an Arctic explorer. And after an arduous training regimen at age 75, Barbara made it to the North Pole, becoming one of the first, or one of the oldest people and the first African-American woman to reach the top of the world. But that wasn't enough. At age 79, she became the first African-American woman to reach the South Pole. Hillary is now a motivational speaker and apparently is already busy planning her next trip for exotic travel. At each step in her transformation from cancer patient to nurse to retiree to adventurer, she started anew for the first time once again. I know that we're not all international fashion designers or game-changing inventors or amateur Arctic explorers or major sports franchises, but we all can do what they have done. By dint of these high holy days, we are called to do the work of reinvention, of reflection, of renewal, of starting again. For Kol Dorot, our Reformed Jewish community, that means moving into the next phase of us project that some of us have been laboring at for 5 or more years, honoring our past and pivoting with excitement towards our future. We proudly carry the legacies of Temple Beth-El and Temple Beth-Or, even as we, for the first time, take steps as a new community. For each of us as individuals, Rosh Hashanah means that we have been granted a new beginning once again. Once more, we make amends with those whom we have hurt, so that our slate is wiped clean. Once more we examine our deeds of the past year and determine how we will do better. Once more we rebuild our inner mishkan, a tabernacle of our soul, our sense of our best selves. We construct a vision of what our year might bring and who we might yet become. We get to start over, taking steps in this new year for the first time once again. My Cleveland Browns, by the way, won that first preseason game as the old new team in 1999, and then they proceeded in the regular season to win two more games and lose 14. They are still working on creating again the formula that led to those back-to-back championship games in 1986 and 87. I do believe that they will get to the Super Bowl one day, although I'm pretty confident that we will get to Oradell first. And that's okay. They start each season as heirs to their past, but also brand new, doing everything for the first time all over again. And the same is true for us. Tonight, we are granted a new season of life. We have the opportunity to begin this year for the very first time once again. May God grant that this year be filled with goodness and hope and blessings for us all. King Hiratzon, may this be God's will. And together let us say, Amen.
As always, thank you for listening. Please share this podcast with anyone you think might be interested, and subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. If you have any comments or questions, you can reach me, Rabbi Noah, at koldorot.org. At the end of a beautiful Rosh Hashanah, we say, L'shana tova tikatevu, may you have a healthy and sweet new year. Until next time, shalom uvracha, peace and blessings from Kol Dorot.